A reading from Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to him to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, who has spoken in various times and in various ways to your people in the past, but in these last days in your Son, the incarnate Word, we pray that you will open the mouth of your servant to proclaim that word in the power of the Spirit. And we pray that this same Spirit will open the hearts of its hearers here assembled to receive your holy gospel and write on their hearts your holy law, even as you have promised. All this, gracious Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our lessons today are difficult. They are lessons that make your pastors wrestle with finding some words of good news in them. They are lessons that sometimes bring us comfort to know that even the chosen ones of God mess up royally and receive forgiveness for their sins. They are lessons that can bring up bad memories and that can cause us to question why God allows terrible things to happen, often to innocent people. And they are lessons that can remind those of us of the Lutheran tradition that we should not jump too quickly to the grace of forgiveness. Just minutes ago, we all confessed our sins before God and each other, and then quickly heard the words of forgiveness. Perhaps it's time to slow that down and dwell a little longer in the words of confession. Hear again those words. Gracious God, we have sinned against you and our neighbors. We have taken what is not ours and justified our actions. We have turned away from your wisdom. We have not done justice, loved kindness, nor walked humbly with you. Forgive us for the harms we have caused through our words and our actions, and restore us to the joy of following your will for us. Sometimes we need to sit with the consequences of our sin for a bit. Why do we rush through our confessions to get to the forgiveness part? We cannot make grace cheap. We cannot jump to the forgiveness and good feeling that it brings. We must suffer with Christ, for Christ lives within us. Our lives are marked by sin. Even those who we would call good people are not unmarked by sin. We are human. We sin. Our sin carries consequences. Instead of running from our sin, perhaps we can allow ourselves to be confronted by it. In the Ignatian spiritual exercises for everyday life, one of the exercises is to imagine yourself sitting at the foot of the cross, looking upon Jesus hanging there for our sins. It is not an easy exercise to do, but I can tell you that for me, it was a very powerful experience. I was confronted by my sin, and I felt the weight of it. I also saw the look of compassion on Jesus' face, the look of love for me in spite of my sin. If you would like to try this exercise sometime, I can get you the materials to do that. This story of David and Bathsheba is a story of sin, a story of the abuse of power, of sin against neighbor, the consequences of that sin. It's also a story about truth-telling. Nathan confronted David with his sin. He possibly risked his own life when he confronted David. But David knew that his sin was against God, and he also regarded God as the only one who could forgive him. God did forgive David, but David still needed to live with the consequences of what he had done. Choices that have been made by us and for us have consequences that we have to live with, and that all those affected by those choices have to live with as well. Why are Bathsheba and the baby punished, and the other wives and children? The consequences of our sin, of what we do and what we have not done, affect more than just ourselves. Our silence to injustice, our selfish misuse of our planet, bearing false witness against our neighbor, carry hurt that can last for many generations. We often need a Nathan in our lives, someone to point out our sin to us. This could be a parent, a sibling, a spouse, a child, a friend, a teacher, co-worker, or a fellow church member. And there are times when we need to be like Nathan and be the truth tellers. It takes a lot of courage to tell the truth. H.A. Ironside, in Illustrations of Bible Truth, shared this story. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. That is from Psalm 32. There is nothing that so takes the joy out of life like unconfessed sin on the conscience. I once heard the late Dr. F.E. Marsh tell that on one occasion he was preaching on this question and urging upon his hearers the importance of the confession of sin and, whenever possible, of restitution for the wrong done to others. At the close, a young man, a member of the church, came up to him with a troubled countenance. "Pastor," he explained, "you have put me in a sad fix. I have wronged another, and I am ashamed to confess it or to try to put it right. You see, I am a boat builder, and the man I work for is an infidel. I have talked to him often about his need of Christ and urged him to come and hear you preach, but he scoffs and ridicules it all. Now, I have been guilty of something that if I should acknowledge it to him, will ruin my testimony forever. He then went on to say that some time ago, he had started to build a boat for himself in his own yard. In this work, copper nails are used because they do not rust in the water. These nails are quite expensive, and the young man had been carrying home quantities of them to use on the job. He knew it was stealing, but he tried to salve his conscience by telling himself that the master had so many that he wouldn't miss them. And besides, he wasn't being paid what he thought he deserved to be paid. But this sermon had brought him face to face with the fact that he was just a common thief. "But," said he, "I cannot go to my boss and tell him what I have done, or offer to pay for those I have used and return the rest. If I do, he will think I'm just a hypocrite. And yet those copper nails are digging into my conscience, and I know I shall never have peace until I put this matter right." For weeks, the struggle went on. Then one night he came to Dr. Marsh and exclaimed, "Pastor, I've settled the copper nails and my conscience is relieved at last. What happened when you confessed to your employer what you had done?" asked the pastor. "Oh," he answered, "he looked queerly at me and then exclaimed, 'George, I always did think you were just a hypocrite. But now I begin to feel there's something in this Christianity after all. Any religion that would make a dishonest workman come back and confess that he had been stealing copper nails and offer to settle for them must be worth having. Reformation and restitution do not save. But where one is truly repentant and has come to God in sincere confession, he will want to the best of his ability to put things right with others. Like David, we can also go to God with a contrite spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. When we sin, we must first acknowledge that we are first sinning against God and then confess our sin against others. After David was confronted by Nathan, and had confessed his sin to God, God inspired David to write Psalm 51, which was read today, and which has helped countless Christians to grieve over their sin. It's a familiar psalm, one which you often hear read on Ash Wednesday. Thanks to Nathan, who confronted David with his sin, we have this psalm, a prayer that helps us to grieve our sin, to sit with it, and seek the joy and gladness of forgiveness. We do have a Nathan in our lives, and he is a truth teller. Numerous times throughout the Gospels, Jesus says the words, "Truly, truly, I say to you." Hear these words of Jesus. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned to joy. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." There are 8 lessons that we can take from the story of David and Bathsheba. Forgiveness does not always mean no consequences. There is no sin that escapes God's notice. We cannot control the effects of our sin, and all sin affects others. Sin must be confronted. Everyone is capable of evil. God works through all things. Sin is never satisfied. But God hears our prayers and brings us comfort. Perhaps the good news in these texts today is that the truth will set us free. There is nothing that we can confess before God that God does not already know. There is nothing that we can confess before God that will make God withhold God's love from us. And now hear again those words of forgiveness. God knows our every weakness and yet loves us without ceasing. Rejoice and be glad, for the God of grace and mercy forgives you all your sins for the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.